أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولما أراد ماء مدين وجد عليه أمة من الناس يسقون ووجد من دونه امرأتين تذودان قال ما خطبكما؟ قالتا لا نسقي حتى يصدر الرعاء وأبونا شيخ كبير. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدين النصيحة. قلنا لمن؟ قال لله ولرسوله ولكتاب ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected elders, young brothers in Islam, amongst the multitude of favors that Allah Ta'ala has favored and endowed Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam with, one of those many favors was that Allah Ta'ala had favored him and endowed him with concise speech. The riwayat appears in Bukhari and in Muslim. When the Nabi Allah says that Utitu Jawari al Kalim, that the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam were very concise, yet very comprehensive and very voluminous in its meaning. The words were concise, but very comprehensive and very voluminous in its meaning. And the hadith that I quoted before you in the beginning is a manifestation of the statement of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Many a time we are asked by non-Muslims, or those that are not acquainted with Islam, to tell me something about Islam. Introduce Islam to me in a few words. You need somebody, he says, that explain to me what does Islam mean. What do you tell that person? Then we begin to mumble, we do not know where to start, where to end, what to say. In two words, the Nabi of Allah defines Islam. That الدين النصيحة. That deen, Islam, in essence means to desire good. This is the simplified definition of Islam. This is the simplified definition of deen, to desire good. Sahaba Ikram then asked, could you perhaps elucidate, elaborate, desiring good for who? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned lillahi wa li rasuli wa li kitabi wa li a'immati al-muslimin wa ummatihi. To desire good for Allah, to desire good for the divine scriptures of Allah, to desire good for the apostles of Allah, to desire good for the leaders of the Muslim Ummah, and lastly to desire good for the general nation. This in essence summarizes the theme. Time is limited. I intend speaking on the last point, and that is desiring good for the general masses. We find that this is a fundamental ingredient of our iman. This is also an important component of our faith, that we become the benefactors of society. Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Imam Nawawi, a very prolific and a great author of the 6th century, he makes mention of this incident in the commentary of Muslim, the first volume. The Jarir ibn Abdullah, one day he comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We find if we study the riwayah, Sahaba used to come and they used to pledge their allegiance at the hands of the Nabi of Allah. So one was the general pledge that Sahaba used to take. Ya ayyuhan Nabi, idha ja'aka al-mu'mina, yubayi'naka alla alla yushrikna billahi shay'a, wa la yasrifna, wa la yasmun, wa la yasmina, wa la yaqtulna alla lahun. O Nabi of Allah, when the believing women come to you, and they pledge allegiance that they will not steal, they will not commit zina, they will not ascribe partners for Allah, accept their allegiance and seek forgiveness on behalf of them. So one was the general pledge of Sahaba used to take. But study the riwayah. There were certain isolated, certain independent situations where Sahaba Ikram had come on a personal note and had taken certain local pledges at the hands of the Nabi of Allah. So Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day he comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and after a lengthy discussion, he says, O Nabi of Allah, I make you my witness that lifelong I will desire each and every person. If it is within my ability, within my capability to assist another person, I will assist him. So the incident I was making mention of, one day Jarir ibn Abdullah, he sent his slave to purchase a horse. The slave goes, he looks at the horse, he negotiates with the owner, they settle on 300 dirhams. He gives him the money, he comes home. Jarir ibn Abdullah looks at this horse. Subhanallah, how much did you pay? He asked the servant. The first servant takes 300 dirhams. Jarir ibn Abdullah says, well, there's something wrong. The owner of this horse has underpriced this horse. Let us go back to him. They go back, Jarir ibn Abdullah introduces himself, that I am Jarir, this is my servant. He has purchased the horse from you. You charged him 300 dirhams. I feel that you have underpriced, you have undercharged. What do you say if I give you another 100? Let us make it 400. In all human likelihood, who would decline? Jarir ibn Abdullah thinks to himself, such a beautiful horse, 300 dirhams? He says, no, I think this horse is worth 800 dirhams. He gives him the balance and he returns home. As he comes back home, people congratulate him on his new conveyance. Oh, Jarir, how much did you pay? He says, 800 dirhams. They tell him, oh, Jarir, you're a fool. You could get this very same horse for 300. What does he say? He says, yes, I could also get this horse for 300, but I pledged allegiance at the hands of the Nabi of Allah that lifelong I will desire good for each and every person. At this juncture, desiring good for this individual was for me to give him a better price than what he had asked for. Allahu Akbar, when this honesty will enter into this ummah, this may be something very difficult for us to digest and swallow, but let us learn to relate to the life of Sahaba Ikram. When Sahaba Ikram comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, O Nabi of Allah, which is that action that constitutes the maximum benefit and earns the greatest reward in the sight of Allah? Which is that action that constitutes the maximum benefit and earns the greatest reward in the sight of Allah? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that sururun tutqiluhu ala muslim, that joy that you bring to the heart of a believer. There's nothing greater that you could do to any person than to bring joy to the heart of a believer. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains that tatshifu anhu qurbatan, that either you remove a difficulty from the path of any individual, or taqzi anhu daynan, or either you settle a debt on behalf of any person. Allah, my respected brothers, if Allah has given us a lot of wealth, for us to settle the debt of one man will not infringe on our basic necessities. One man can have a roof over his head. Another man can have a plate of food in front of him each night. Allah's qasam, what du'a would come out from that person's heart to a general difficulty. So he says that either remove a difficulty, or either settle a debt on behalf of that person, or thirdly, or tuqradu anhu ju'an, or remove hunger or poverty from the path of any individual. And then what did the Nabi of Allah say? He said, I prefer walking with a person to satisfy his need. This would please me more than sitting for 1 month in Masjid al-Nabawi inquire of God. This would please me more than sitting for 1 month in Masjid al-Nabawi inquire of God. But what happens today? We see a person smiling. You ask him, what is wrong with you? Why are you smiling today? Such hypocrisy has stepped into this ummah. We who have sent as the benefactors of society, Allah Ta'ala forgive, leave alone desiring good, we cannot even see the good of the next man. I think we can go one step further to say that when somebody speaks good about my brother, we do not even have the ability to listen to the good of the next man. That is how long we have stood today. The element of desiring good, Riwayat appears in Muslim, the second volume. Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, before the battle of Jamal, he comes to his son. The element of desiring good, and he tells his son that I am going out in jihad. By the looks of things, these are my last moments. But I have one concern and one worry. That is my death. When I die, I want you to wind up my estate in an efficient way. Make sure that you settle my debts. Anyway, the battle takes place lengthily while coming to the climax. He goes up to the path of Allah and becomes shaheed. Burial takes place. His son begins the calculations. He says, فَوَجَدْتُهُ أَلْفَيْ أَلْفٍ وَمِئَتَيْ أَلْفٍ. I found that my father was owing 2,200,000 dirhams. 2,200,000 dirhams. Exorbitant amount. This is a colossal task. My father has entrusted me with this. And then he goes on to explain why his father was indebted in this way. That whether my father was abusing the money, misappropriating the money and using the money in wrong sources. The words of Muslim Sharif, I quote the words of the riwayat. وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ دِينُهُ أَلَّذِي كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَنَّ الرَّجُلْ كَانَ يَأْتِيهِ بِالْمَالِ فَيَسْتَوْدِعُهُ إِيَّاهُ فَيَقُولُ لَا وَلَكِنْ هُوَ السَّلَفُ إِنَّمَا أَخْشَ عَلَيْهِ الضَّيْعَةُ. Oh, my father, the reason why my father was indebted in this way was that my father was a very trustworthy person. People had trusted my father a lot. They kept a lot of trust and reliance in my father. A person would come and say, Oh Abdullah, I have 1,000 dirhams. Keep it in your care as the amanat and a trust. My father would decline. Allah, I don't think you would find one man like this alive today. My father would decline. He would tell this person that you are giving me your money to keep. While that money is in my possession, any unforeseen circumstances could prevail. That is the end of your money. That is the masala. Somebody gives you something to keep. While that item is in your possession, without any negligence on your part, if the item has to get mislaid, has to get stolen, the owner of the item cannot claim the item for you. So you tell that person that you are giving me your hard-earned money. Any unforeseen circumstances could prevail. Your money could get lost, it could get stolen. They would insist, no, that you keep our money. So my father, what he would do, he would take that amanah and that trust, and he would tell this person that you are giving me this amanah to keep by me. I will regard that amanah and that trust to be a loan. The amanah that you are giving to me, the trust that you are giving to me, I will regard that trust to be a loan. In the interest of that man, my father would take that trust and he would regard it to be a loan. And he would tell the person that come with me, whether the money gets stolen, it gets lost, that is my problem. Your money is secure. So in the interest of that man, my father would take this money and channel it in avenues of good. Once upon a time, this was the quality of a believer. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, Allahu Akbar. His brothers, with such amount of hypocrisy, such amount of hatred for him, they plotted his assassination. Quran makes mention of this. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ. They beguiled the father, and they tell the father that we are taking Yusuf for some entertainment. يرتع, he will eat. ويلعب, he will play. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And we will take care of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam had cited in this young lad that he would one day grow up and become a Nabi. Mufassirin explained. They say when they separate son from father, they brought Yusuf alayhi salam on the ground and they begin to argue with one another. Should we kill him? Should we abandon him? Eventually they agree, let us abandon him in a deserted valley. They come to the well, understand his own blood brothers. They come to the well. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ. Yusuf alayhi salam pleads with his brothers, what are you doing to me? Is this brotherhood? Is this what you're portraying? Quran says unanimously they agree. They throw him into a deserted well infested with insects. وَأَرْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala inspires Yusuf alayhi salam. The Lord Yusuf, bear patiently, for verily such a time will dawn upon you that you will narrate these very happenings to those very same brothers of yours in more detail than what they can tell to you. You will be able to recognize each and every one of them, yet they will fail to recognize you. Anyway, the future of Yusuf alayhi salam begins to unfold. From there he comes out, he goes into the house of the king, till eventually he becomes the king of Egypt. When he becomes the king of Egypt, in the interim, the king of Egypt had seen a dream. We have seen it seen that seven best towns are being devoured by seven thin towns. I don't want to go into the different interpretations, time is limited. This denoted 7 years of prosperity and then 7 years of famine and drought. After years and years and decades, what Allah Ta'ala had inspired Yusuf alayhi salam has today become a reality, and now he is sitting on the throne of Egypt with full power and authority. Understand. وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفَ فَتَقَلُوا عَلَيْهِ. Yusuf alayhi salam is seated on the throne. The brothers walk into the court of Yusuf alayhi salam. One by one he makes them out. These are those very same brothers of mine who have thrown me in the well and have perhaps forgotten about me. They thought I am history, the chapter is closed. Allah Ta'ala has given them life. Allah Ta'ala has given him life again. Allah Ta'ala has saved him. Become like everyone else who purchases grain and corn. Yusuf alayhi salam has a brief discussion with them, but he does not divulge the secret. They fail to recognize him. They fail to recognize Yusuf alayhi salam. And before they go, he orders that each one of them be given a camel load of grain and corn. And then he calls one of his servants. وَقَالَ لِفِتْيَانِ اِجْعَلُوهُ. He says, oh my servant, you see those men? Those men are my brothers. They have failed to recognize me. No matter what they have done to me, end of the day, they are my brothers. And with them they have brought money. With them they have brought money. But I feel shy to take money from my own blood. Which brothers? Those brothers who had abandoned him. Those brothers who had thrown him in the well. Those brothers who had deserted, who had separated him from his beloved father. But what was the akhlaq of Yusuf alayhi salam? Really, my respected brothers, we have to ask ourselves the question that why is the interchange, the noble endeavor of expanding our businesses by moving from a simple car to a luxurious car, by moving from a simple home to a palatial home, and by moving from national vacations to international vacations. I wonder whether we entertain the same frame of mind for our servants when we decide to sell. Or does Islam entertain a very selfish approach? That person who is working for me, I will exploit you. Is he not building a future? Does he not have certain aspirations, certain desires in life? My respected brothers, those under our employment, they are human beings that you and I. They have certain ambitions in life that I also want to drive a car of my own. I also want to have a house of my own. Do we entertain these ambitions on their behalf or not? What does Yusuf alayhi salam tell his servants? That take this money and give it back to them. I cannot exploit the desperation of my brothers to make money. I cannot exploit the desperation of my brothers to make money. This was the akhlaq of Yusuf alayhi salam. Take the incident of Musa alayhi salam. Read the warrant of the list of Musa alayhi salam. One person comes and tells him that, oh Musa, Fir'aun and his cronies are after you. Why don't you leave Egypt and go? With divine inspiration, eventually he decides to leave. Working for days and days and days, he does not know where he's heading to. No man's plan, no sense of direction. The future is looking bleak. He does not know what the future holds for him. When he comes to Midian, after days and days and days, ulama write, they say he was hungry, he was thirsty, no sense of direction, he does not know what the future holds for him. Ask that person who travels for hours, though we travel in the most luxurious of conveyances, when we come to our destination, jet lag and this and that. Musa alayhi salam, totally exhausted, he looks in every other direction, absolutely no one to come to his assistance. In this condition of utter desolation, eventually he comes and he takes shelter under a tree. Quran makes mention of this incident, subhanAllah. وَلَمَّا وَلَدَ مَعَرَى مَدْيَا وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْكُونَ. Musa alayhi salam takes shelter under the stream. His gaze falls on a well, and he sees the shepherds were coming with their respective flocks to give it water to drink. And in the distance, Musa alayhi salam sees two young girls standing with total modesty waiting for their turn. From their dressing, he could deduce that they were Muslims. Musa alayhi salam is tired, he is exhausted. But understanding that there are two women standing there alone, what could be the problem? مَا حَبُّهُمَا, he decides to approach them. What is the problem? وَمَا مَا رِسْفَكْتَ الْبَدَرِ, while the world is moving in one direction, and that is the cave of materialism, the cave of amassing, the cave of snatching and usurping from the next man, I sometimes wonder, cannot we revive those individuals who will stand up and partake to the world and make the world understand what is the true perspective of Islam that you can earn to serve the next man? Everyone interested in building his own. Cannot we become those individuals who will assist others in building the future? Cannot we become those individuals يَفْتِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. The Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though they may be in need, though they may be hungry, but they would still give preference to the rights of their fellow men over themselves. Musa alayhi salam comes to these young girls with great modesty. Oh my sisters, why are you waiting here? قَالَتَا لَا نَسْتِي حَتَّى يُسْتِرَ الرِّعَاءُ. They say that this is our practice, that we wait here. We are strange men in the crowd. If we are going to the crowd, we will be rubbing shoulders with strange men, which is forbidden. When the men are gone, then we go and give our animals water to drink. And perhaps you are wondering, why there are no men to represent us? She says, my father is, she tells Musa alayhi salam, that my father is old, hence there is no one to represent us. Wallah, in the moment of desperation, understand Musa alayhi salam, he is hungry, he is thirsty, he does not know what the future holds for him. That was enough for him. He says, no, no, understanding the sentiments of this woman, desiring good for the next person, he tells this girl that you wait here. He takes the flock, goes and gives it water to drink, brings the flock back, gives it to the girl, and says, go back home. What was the barakah and the blessing of this? Subhanallah. The girls come home early that day. So the father says, what has happened? You only come home late, you have come back early today. They say that we have met a very strange man. This person, he displays such unique qualities. He just sympathized with our condition. So the father tells these girls that this is not what I taught you. This is not akhlaq. Go and call that man so I may see who he is. فَجَاءَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءٍ. One of the girls comes and she says that my father is calling you to recompensate you on the noble hospitality you have displayed. A lesson for our youngsters. Musa alayhi salam tells this girl that you walk behind me so that perhaps my gaze does not fall on your body. They start walking, they walk and walk and walk till they come to the father. Musa alayhi salam narrates the entire incident. The point I want to get to, what was the barakah of this? We find this very act of kindness triggers into a proposal, and this young girl becomes the wife of Musa alayhi salam, and the elderly man becomes the father-in-law, who is the Nabi of Allah alayhi wa sallam. So as I mentioned, the definition of iman, to desire good, desiring good for the general masses, if we cannot desire good, let us at least say good. A person comes to Abdullah bin Mubarak, he says, O Abdullah, I am suffering with the ulcer on my knee. خَرَجَتْ فِي رُكْبَتِي. I am suffering with the ulcer that is bleeding profusely. وَقَدْ عَلَفْتُ بِاللَّهِ الْعِلَاجِ وَسَأَلْتُ الْعَطِبَاءِ. I've been to doctors, I've been to physicians. For some reason or the other, there's no symptoms of recovery. Could you perhaps prescribe some action that I may do that Allah Ta'ala may assist me? So Abdullah bin Mubarak tells this person, it is simple. All you have to do is go to such a place that ideally go to such a place where people are living in abject poverty. Make service available to humanity. Go to such a place where people are living in abject poverty and فَحْفِرْ هُنَاكَ بِئْرًا, and put a well, dig a well, and make water available for those who do not have water. Allah's qasam before that man who takes that first cup of water, Allah Ta'ala will cure him. This person says, this is what I have done. I went to a place, I put up a well, but the word of that man did not take the first sip of water. Allah Ta'ala has cured me immediately and permanently. This is what the Nabi of Allah had mentioned. Listen to this. That person, Allah has given him well, fame, authority. That person Allah has given him wealth, fame, authority, he must understand that coupled with these favors will come the demands of man. At some time or the other, Allah Ta'ala will direct some of his servants to have the needs fulfilled at the hands of this man. At that time, if you capitalize, if you understand that this is the jewel of what my Lord has given me, and you capitalize and you welcome the person and you assist him, Allah Ta'ala will multiply what he has given you if you decline Allah's help. Such deep words. That person Allah has given him wealth, fame, or authority, coupled with these favors, will come the demand of men. Perhaps your father, perhaps your brother, perhaps someone from your locality, at some time or the other, someone will build trust in you. At that time, if you capitalize, Allah will increase. If you abuse, Allah will catch. The kafa bil mar'i hasida. Kafa bil mar'i hasida, the Nabi of Allah mentioned. It is sufficient to render a man jealous. A person is sad on your happy occasion. A person cannot smile on your happy occasion. This proves that a man has jealousy in his heart. That one person said it so beautifully. He says that life is so short. There isn't enough time to love. I don't know where people find time to put it with hatred. Life is so short. There isn't enough time to love. I don't know where people find time to put it with hatred. Wallah, my respected brothers, we do not have to look far. This akhlaq, those servants in our home, those servants in our businesses, how do we speak to them? The riwayat appears in Muslim, the second volume. Abu Mas'ud Badri says that my slave had upset me. So one day I came to my slave and I picked up my hand to slap it. As I picked up my hand, somebody caught my hand from the back. Ya Abu Mas'ud, Lallah, أقدر عليك منك على هذا الغلام. Abu Mas'ud, understand that Allah Ta'ala has more authority over you than what you have over this man. If you think you can retrench, wait when Allah Ta'ala starts retrenching. That is what the Prophet ﷺ told his son, Ya Bunayya, O my son, when your authority incites you or provokes you to oppress the next man, O my son, when your authority incites you or incites you to oppress the next man, at that time, فَتَذَكَّرْ قُدْرَةَ اللَّهِ. At that time, think about the قُدْرَةَ of Allah. At that time, think about the power of Allah upon you. Abu Mas'ud, Allah Ta'ala has more power over you than what you have over this man. He says, I turned around. The riwayat of Muslim Sharif, the second one. He says, I was left dumbfounded because of the revealed of Allah. هُوَ أَقُرُّ مِنْ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. He says, O Nabi of Allah, what can I say? Can I say that he is free for the glory of Allah? Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam tells him, Ya Aba Mas'ud, Ya Aba Mas'ud, Ama law lam taf'al, lana taf'atka al-nar. O Abu Mas'ud, just as well you have freed the slave of yours, otherwise the fire of Jahannam would have been waiting for you. Just as well you have freed him, otherwise the fire of Jahannam would have been waiting for you. Wa'af radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Wa'at asr bi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Riwayat appears in Tirmidhi, the second volume.